This is Chapter 15 of The Return of Princess Nightmare Moon by Aegis Shield, titled Visitor.
And for the Princess Nightmare, we have the lovely Salmon New Orleans.
The French chef was a griffin named Blackfeather, and he was the one summoned by Celestia to aid in Princess Nightmare's diet. Salmon New Orleans was a wonderful fish dish, and he'd spent nearly an hour slaving over it to make it positively perfect. After all, when one cooked for royalty, things had to be positively perfect. Celestia and Twilight smiled politely and tried not to wrinkle their noses as the scent of cooked meat assaulted them. The steaming dish was dipped in yellow butter sauce over a bed of dirty rice, pricked with a tiny little sprig of broccoli. Nightmare smiled wide, eyes dancing over the dish, but she gave pause. Frowning a bit, she looked about.
"What is wrong, Princess?"
Chef Blackfeather wanted to know. Didn't she like what he'd brought for her?
"Nurse Band-Aid."
Nightmare pushed the plate away from herself just an inch. Closing her eyes and tilting her head rather snootily up, she waited. The brown stallion came forward with a shy smile, bowing the chef as he went. The griffin could only blink at him in confusion. Leaning over the rather large plate, he studied and made a quick nutritional count. Comparing notes in his head for a moment, he gave a few idle nods and made a light gesture with a hoof. Celestia and Twilight both watched them curiously. Daintily, Nightmare lifted her knife and fork with magic. Taking a little saucer from a waiting stack in the middle of the table, she mounded a bit of rice onto it and cut a 20% portion from the main bit of salmon. Ta, see what he did there. Then, she set it aside. Nurse Band-Aid nodded his approval and smiled a little when she offered the extra rice to him. Now the meal was a more proper size. Bowing and trying not to be intrusive at the royal dinner table, Band-Aid returned to his place at a side table to one side, near the wall. The twins, Aegis Shield and Stalwart Hyde, eyeballed him until he snickered and pushed the saucer to the middle of their little side table to share. The two stallions promptly bashed their heads trying to get the first bite, and Band-Aid face-hoofed.
"What was that all about?" Twilight asked curiously.
"My nurse doth watch my diet diligently. I am still on the mend, after all,"
Nightmare gestured with much dignity.
"The palace medical staff knows what is best for my recovery, Twilight Sparkle. Eating too much is just as bad as eating too little."
She gave a sagely nod and Twilight nodded back. She did recall the princess's nurse fussing over her food at the Nightmare Night Festival. It made sense. The chef bowed and was away once the table was set, and the meal began.
"So, tell me, Twilight."
Ah, dang it. This is Celestia.
"So, tell me, Twilight. Are you looking forward to the Grand Galloping Gala this year? A little birdie told me you might have a date."
Celestia's eyes smiled after she lifted a spiced bread to her mouth. Her heart was still bright with Blueblood's formal request for Twilight's hoof to the gala. Twilight smiled a small smile.
"Well, yes," she fidgeted a little. "It's Prince Blueblood, you see. He asked to be my escort to the gala," she said.
"Really?"
No, wait, this is... I don't even know. That wasn't Celestia or Nightmare. That was just... Okay.
"Really?"
Nightmare asked, astounded. After all that had happened, he was a brave one.
"He's been really nice to me lately, and he promised to let me alone so I can see to all my usual duties,"
Twilight said cheerily. Seeing Celestia cock her head, she soon added,
"He's changed, I think. Since Princess Nightmare got back, maybe a little after, he's been trying to be a better pony."
She told the royal sisters everything that had happened with Blueblood, how he'd been trying to improve himself, probably to impress her, she'd already surmised. But effort was effort.
He used to be such a... She tried to find the proper word for the dinner table. Well, he's nicer and more proper than he used to be. He's changed.
Near-death experiences can do that.
Nightmare nodded conversationally, patting her lips with her napkin when a bit of juice went down her muzzle. Both of the other mares at the table gave her a look, and she smiled guiltily.
But it doth take a certain type of stallion to wish for the perfect set of indestructible...
Suddenly Nightmare cut herself off, her ears flicked up and forward, like she'd heard something.
Is something wrong, sister?
Celestia's fork paused partway to her mouth.
Something is here.
Nightmare set her silverware onto her folded napkins. Her eyes traveled to the ceiling for a moment, darting around as though the answer lay there. There was a fell scent on the air, the scent of magic. Celestia tilted her head up a little too, eyes lidding with a neutral frown.
I feel it too,
Celestia said quietly, ears turning back. She pushed her mane out of her eyes for a moment so she could concentrate a bit. The white alicorn sat up a little straighter, and the room became a bit more tense.
What is it? I don't feel anything,
Twilight said, looking back and forth between the royal sisters. Twilight tried to expand her magical senses, to feel even an inkling of what had touched the noses of her goddesses. The twins and Band-Aid looked over, concerned. There was a long silence as the two alicorns turned their heads this way and that, as though something were scrambling their magical radars. They just couldn't seem to lock it down and figure out where it was coming from. The purple mare slowly stood, not sure if she should be prepared for some sort of attack or what.
I sense something, said Nightmare quietly, repeating herself. A presence I've not felt since.
Suddenly, her eyes widened. She could smell it, the scent of powerful magic. It smelled of honey, of oiled armor and humid desert winds. She knew that magical smell. She stood so hard her chair almost toppled, panic rising in her face.
I must away!
She whirled about and left the table.
Stalwart, hide! My dinner!
She said over her shoulder, running to the door to make a retreat. Nurse Band-Aid jumped to his hooves as the appropriate twin dashed to the table, bowed quickly, and snatched the princess's plate from where it sat. Celestia blinked, and the four of them were gone. The doors left wide open. The galloping of the black alicorn faded with distance. Celestia caught the scent too, a few moments later. She gave what looked like a tired smile to Twilight.
Things are about to get interesting, my faithful student. What is it?
Twilight whispered, eyes wide at the fleeing black goddess.
Sire, if I may, what's troubling you so badly?
Tombs had appeared in the doorway of the kitchen, standing on the threshold. Blueblood was stained with flour, sugar, bits of this and that from his fury storm of cooking.
What? Nothing. I'm fine.
He smiled lopsidedly, working with shaking hooves as he furiously whipped whatever was currently in his mixing bowl.
Sire, you only make blueberry muffins as a nervous comfort food,
Tombs said with a slight sniff, stroking his mustache to make sure it was perfect. When it was, he stepped into the kitchen and right onto an egg. How an egg had traveled to the floor and was not broken was beyond him, but the stallion wrinkled his muzzle nonetheless.
And you've made more than 4 dozen,
the butler said, gesturing to the waiting counter. There were some cooling racks set up, all of them weighed down with the same confection.
I like muffins,
Blueblood said snootily, avoiding his butler's gaze and turning about to work with his mixing bowl.
I can make as many as I like, thank you very much.
You're nervous about the gala. It is only a week away,
Tombs predicted. He saw his master's ears wilt, but the white stallion didn't say anything.
You'll be fine. Your dance has much improved. You'll have all day to groom and make ready for the occasion, not to mention that you very much refined yourself in Twilight Sparkle's mind.
The stallion wiped the egg from his hoof with a hoof kerchief, stuffing it in his breast pocket afterwards.
The evening shall go perfectly, he encouraged.
But what if it doesn't?
Blueblood suddenly burst out, setting his bowl down with a tack and leaning on the counter.
The gala is the place for romance, Tombs. Romance and dancing and music and wonderful foods.
He trailed off dramatically, scrubbing furiously at his golden mane.
What if Twilight forgets that she promised me a dance, or what if something bad happens and I'm called away? What if...
Go back to your muffins, sire,
Tombs said gently.
Thank you,
Blueblood mumbled, hunching over his creation. Idle hooves, it seemed, drove the prince's stress level way up. His butler knew this.
I'll be here if I'm needed for something important.
The royal stallion said, Royal Stallion, I think that's Blueblood.
I'll be here if I'm needed for something important,
the royal stallion said over his shoulder. Leaning, he poured a measured amount of blueberries into his mix, busily stirring them in. He magicked the muffin-shaped pan from its resting place, getting ready to pour. Tombs left his master in peace, going up to his room and shutting the door. When he was sure it was locked and secure, he pulled the curtains. Reaching into the inside breast pocket of his butler's attire, he pulled out a little leather book. Mumbling to himself and going over to a nearby writing desk, he pulled it open and sat down. In truth, there were two books. Whatever was written in one would appear in the other. It was like a magical pen pal sort of item. But secretly, Tombs had no pen pal, but was actually in contact with the most powerful pony in the world, Princess Celestia. Grumbling a little and itching his face, the stallion pulled off his mustache and set it down next to him, furiously scratching his naked upper lip and setting his monocle aside so he could see properly. He dipped a quill in ink and began to write.
Dear Princess Celestia, Project Tombs, report number 6495.
He mumbled, but didn't speak after that. A good half an hour of writing passed. There was a knocking at the door, and Tombs flinched.
Tombs? It's Feather Duster,
the young mare called.
Are you in there?
The doorknob worked itself, but it was locked so she couldn't get in. Tombs snapped the book closed, stuffed it away, closed the desk, then opened it again to fetch his mustache and monocle. Rushing over to a mirror, he donned his mustache and monocle, straightening and patting himself here and there until he looked presentable. He put on his most professional face and went to the door. Coughing a bit, he unlocked the door and opened it part way.
Yes, Miss Duster,
he said, tweaking his mustache a bit.
What is it? This door doth not open. No pony comes out, and no pony comes in. Understand?
Nightmare bade the twins in her most serious tones. The twins nodded nervously, neither knowing what had spooked the alicorn so badly that they'd run all the way back to the obsidian hall to hide. The princess had closed the massive main door and thrown a bar across it. Then, she'd sealed the balcony by turning the glass into hardened crystal and closing it. Then she closed all the curtains, plugged her bathroom drains, and turned all the torches all the way up to their greatest brightness.
Princess, what's going on?
Band-Aid tried to rush back and forth with the alicorn, but she was already digging in a chest near her bed. Emerging with her war helm, terrifyingly enough, she slammed it onto her head. Her ethereal mane popped out of the back of it like it wasn't there, ever flowing and shifting like the ghostly hair it was.
What did you sense in the dining room?
Evil, hoof servant, whispered Nightmare Moon seriously.
Aegis Shield, Stalwart Hyde, to me,
she commanded. The twins obeyed as she drew up the curtains of her bed.
Into the bed, now!
We will be safer in an enclosed space.
She gestured in a circular motion. The twins leapt up into the curtained-off darkness, turning circles and then settling. Nightmare followed them and settled between the two of them. Band-Aid was not convinced and cocked an eyebrow.
Really? Feigning evil to get us into bed with you, princess?
He frowned at her, turning to the medical bag to get into his deck of cards and command her to quit. Nightmare Moon looked fearfully at her nurse, truly for his safety.
Nay, in where it is...
The door suddenly jarred on its hinges. Everypony froze. A little spill of dust fell from the ceiling. Nightmare stared in horror, draconic pupils turning into slits. The twins flinched, their ears perking at the bedroom door with a mix of fear and curiosity. I was about to say furiosity. What was it that went bump in the night that could terrify a goddess? Band-Aid wheeled around, eyebrows shooting up.
Hoof servant, we command thee!
Princess Nightmare begged. The stallion didn't need any more convincing. He grabbed his medical bag and dashed for the safety of the curtained bed. Nightmare closed the thick curtains, leaving only a little space to peek out through. The door jarred again, like more than one creature had thrown itself against the thick wood barring. Turning back, he leapt into bed with the older three ponies. Yeah, other three ponies.
Please, princess, tell me what's...
A battle axe that was pulled from exactly nowhere was shoved into Nurse Band-Aid's mouth. He gaped down at it. He could barely lift the thing. Nightmare Moon thrust the curtain all the way closed and pulled her little ponies around her like a shield.
Whatever happens, my little ponies, I doth commend thee for all thy service.
A bead of sweat went down the side of her face. The twins pressed up against her like needy puppies, growing more and more fearful and agitated as the seconds ticked on. Band-Aid looked over as both the armored stallions tried to steel themselves for whatever terror lay beyond the door. The door cracked a little along the hinges. Nightmare grabbed all of her pillows and made them into a little fort, squinting through the curtain. The card for "Answer Me" appeared, stuck to the princess's breast. She glanced down at it, then at her nurse. He fixed her with a pointed, frustrated glare.
"Answer me," he said firmly, pushing the battle axe aside to one of the twins. "What is that?" "The most sickly and evil thing Equestria has ever known," Nightmare Moon whispered.
She lit her horn to hold the door, but another boom made her lose her focus. Her magic had not yet completely returned, much to her regret.
"It is old, very old, just like me."
Boom! Chips of wood were coming away from the beautiful mahogany door. All four ponies swallowed.
"How it got into the castle, I do not know, but... boom! If it is here, I do not wish to meet it and... boom! Crackle."
The door was starting to give, and they watched in horror as the bar came away. A hole had been formed.
"Scree!"
said a very high-pitched voice from out of the hallway. Something that was too ugly and misshapen to be a hoof reached through the hole and started jarring the bar. It wrenched it free and tossed it to the floor before withdrawing. The door suddenly gave way as a blast of magic hit it from the outside. It hung on its hinges.
"Scree!"
another voice responded. There was more than one of them.
"Battle axe," Nightmare whispered fiercely, holding out a hoof.
Band-Aid passed it to her, terrified. He was a nurse, not a warrior. What was going to happen to him if whatever monster was out there decided to come after him? The twins were soldiers and she was a goddess. He was perfectly killable. Band-Aid found himself shaking as Princess Nightmare eased onto her hooves, silently. Like a Zafrican tribal warrior, she raised her weapon in her teeth and waited. A trio of black shadows swept into the room. Two small, one large. Sniff, sniff, sniff. It was audible. Dang it. Doing so well with sound effects up until now. It's like, sniff, sniff, sniff. It was audible as the larger of the three tilted its nose up, turning its head back and forth. The three beasts cautiously entered the royal bedroom, peering around. They passed the couch, eyeing the burning hearth. They curiously looked at the half-eaten dinner plate at the table. They even paused to admire the wall of pinned-up, soon-to-be night sky Nightmare had worked on. But then, they locked their gazes onto the massive, curtained-off bed. Princess Nightmare Moon coiled herself, silently rearing up and gathering her strength. She would only get one shot. Band-Aid looked up at his princess in awe. Despite her frailness, she would still step up to defend herself and her little ponies. In that terrible moment of fear and tension, he found himself adoring her for the royalty she really was. He could imagine her charging into battle with her own soldiers. Licking her lips, the alicorn checked the shining edge of her weapon, turning it a bit for the proper angle. Fling! The massive weapon sliced through the bed curtains and out at the intruders, spiraling like a buzzsaw. The largest of the three beasts ducked just in time, losing some of the hair off its head. The two smaller were too short to need to move.
Scree!
I don't even know how to pronounce that. The two smaller ones zeroed in on the bed, and the bigger one made a mad dash for their hiding spot. For the princess! Stalwart Hyde suddenly roared, shouting a whinny of battle. For Equestria! Dang it. I can't do a solid snake yell. Anyways. For Equestria! Aegis Shield launched himself out of the bed alongside his twin. The two soldiers tackled the lesser monsters with their sheer weights, biting and wrestling and flailing back and forth. They slammed into furniture, shouting and roaring and scratching each other wildly. The bedroom erupted into a melee. The largest of the three, however, made it through to Her Royal Majesty. Nurse Band-Aid stood quivering, and was heaved out of the way by a bizarre and tingling aura of magic.
What?
He cried, launched off of the bed and to the carpet in a heap.
Nighty poo!
Queen Chrysalis squealed, tackled Nightmare Moon onto her back, and kissed her so hard their teeth clicked together.
Oh, how I've missed you!
She forced their lips together again while the black alicorn flailed for her life, wings flapping and hooves going everywhere.
Tongue! There was tongue there! There should not have been tongue there! Oh, gods, no!
Nightmare roared when her mouth was free. Okay, I feel like I should do some kind of special voice for Chrysalis, but I don't read these chapters ahead of time. I didn't know it was coming. What should I do? I don't know. I'll think of something, but damn. I feel bad, though, that I messed up so much during that, like, for Equestria and for the princess. Like, that should all have been one smooth thing. Kind of, I hope I didn't ruin the atmosphere with it, but that's always been the thing. Like, I've never been able to do the snake voice, like, yelling things. Like, I can just be like, Metal Gear, and Metal Gear, just like that, but I can't do, like, whatever.